So were you able to then, you know, you've got the success of the sponsorship and the Aviva Challenge side. Say, look, social media works for us over here. Right, now we're going to do it corporately. Here's how we could do it. Was it easy to sell? Was it easy to get us put a strategy?
Oh, no. Those things are never easy to sell. No. Yeah, I guess what one could say to me, what have you spent 10, 11 years doing?
Yeah. What have you spent?
How I often answer that is actually, you know, Aviva.com sat with me and my team. But I never, ever said it was our site. I always had we worked very closely with the stakeholders from each, you know, the investor centre stakeholder, the director, and then the operational guy. And our job was about consulting with them and saying, what do you want to communicate, and how do you want to do it digitally, and how do you might want to do it through Aviva.com? And then, in recent years, what else would you like? Where would you like to distribute that content? You know, place it on our YouTube channel, have a Twitter. So we started to think about this, and you begin to look at that. And I have a great saying, one I like, which is just because you can doesn't mean you should. And there is this kind of thing where in big company stuff, it goes, oh, it's up there, they've got this. And then you look at it and say, yeah, but what actually do you know, I don't understand what the strategy, you know, is it meaningful? Why would I go back? Why would I stay tuned? Why would I have it coming into my life weekly, daily, whatever? And so we were always, as an insurance company that manages risk all the while, you know, we were always sometimes a bit cautious about that. So, U2, 2006, September, started to go well. And suddenly you think, we've got, you know, tens of thousands of views of content from people who probably would never have discovered it by coming to Aviva.com. So, you know, not bad. And how much does that cost us? Well, a little bit of that piece of content over there that was produced for something else, putting it on there, a bit of my time, and then da-da-da-da. So I started to look at really, you know, where you begin to understand these things that are going to have legacy, these things that come out of the pack. So you begin to be aware of MySpace, and then you see that kind of shift into that music-dominated thing. You kind of go, perhaps not for us. Bebo very much fixed in the kids. And then you start to see, you know, LinkedIn and the beginnings of Facebook, and then obviously Twitter, and latterly Foursquare, and a number of these things. You begin to understand that. So I spent, I guess, most of 2009 talking to our media relations colleagues about the way we should start to move to have Twitter as a part of our communications mix distribution. Not because it would stand alone or replicate, but I said there was an easy way in to do this. Aviva is a powerhouse of PR, particularly in the UK, and we always used to carry, you know, as much PR as we could, news releases on the site. And because we had a mobile site, we were on the first like that, we used to generate RSS out of it. Mm-hmm. So there's a neat way that you can do with twitterfeed.com that turns your RSS into a nice little tweet. And so that will give you access into a way of saying, we can publish this here, that actually is approved content that's gone through all the approval stages in the company, that's pretty low risk. Why don't we just try it? So we talked about that, and then in January 2000, I might have lost grasp of the dates. I believe it was January 2010. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right. We got it going. And I looked at, you know, Shell.com, their Twitter feed. I looked at a number of these other Intercontinental Hotels Group and others like that, and just thinking, blimey, it's got 3,500 followers. Wow. And you start to look at the followers and you start to understand that there's other energy companies and all that, and then there's journalists, and you start to think, well, why couldn't that be for us? So we start to think about that, and then, as I said, you know, in, I guess, 14 months, we're now just hitting through the 1,000 mark. And then you look at the makeup. Who's bothering about this? Why would we do it? Well, because other people, whether it's analysts or journalists, are electing to get their news like this. They might have RSS, they might have signed up to our email drop, you know, from .com, but their behaviours are perhaps changing. Perhaps they're discovering whether it's worth to do. Absolutely. And they're then going and saying, well, what's quite interesting about that company, that, you know, they haven't got a Twitter feed, haven't they thought about that, you know? Mm. Or actually, this is my preferred way now. I love it. You know, why don't they offer that? So you see this growth, and often in that thing, I don't know if you do it, Paul, but actually when I look at, you know, if I follow someone, I'm immediately going to see who they're following. And you're going to go, oh, that looks interesting. Yeah, I'll follow them as well. Because it's about this recommendation of, if they, I quite like what he does or she does. And you kind of go, well, if they like that stuff from them, I'll probably like that.
Yeah.
So that's how I do it. So you do that. And I think, so you see a lot of people come in through peer group. They've kind of gone somewhere else and they've found that I'm sure they do it. And then suddenly you see this rush of you know, people signing up to follow you. And so I think that's proved very well. And so we've got an audience of 1,000. I think it's, you know, and I think, you know, the development of that for Aviva has to be, you know, the broadcast. And they're doing much more of open question stuff, pulling in other sources rather than PR-driven stuff, which is the backbone of it. It keeps it ticking over. And for those people who are signing up and saying, I prefer to get my news from you like that, very short, 140, you know, quick bit.ly email. What? Where does it take them? Aviva.com. Where therefore you hope they either get the news and part of the site, and for those busy people is to get them successfully into that site, get what they want, let them get out and get on with their job. But on those occasions when they go, I'm not so pressured or deadline driven, perhaps I'll, oh, what's else on this page? Oh, I didn't realise they had a full kind of image gallery for media use, free to use, you know, download of high res of all these people. Perhaps I'll have a look around and I wonder what's in the CR section. And you hope that they then migrate into all the other great content that you do when they've got time. So they spend, you know, through your metrics, you see your average time on site is good. Now, that's always, you know, we have this thing, you know, in the company, average time on site, what does it actually mean? You know, in some respects, it's kind of like, if it's several minutes, it's kind of, oh, great, people are really engaging with the content. Or they're struggling to find what they want. So actually, on certain series, there's not many people spending much time here. Well, on the share price page, why? Because they like to come in, it's very visible, they get what they want, and they get out. That's a measure of success. You know, and absolutely in terms of that clarity and efficiency of doing that, that's, you know, sometimes a much kind of forgotten about thing, letting people get on with their business, and then this subliminal thing of them thinking, well, that was pretty painless and easy, didn't get like that.
I'll do it again.
So we began to do all that, and so what we then did was understood that we needed to start to manage things on LinkedIn. That's another big thing in terms of the PLC, the .com, is a better presence on LinkedIn, and we were working with that. And the often the difficult one for everyone, which is Wikipedia, where how do you manage your presence on that in terms of that? And I started to do that very early in terms of very clear, I would go in and only change like really factual things. So every time a customer number change or a funds under management or number of staff. And then you did that once or twice straight in and you realise, you know, because of the nature of this, and then it's beginning to use the sandbox there, which is that thing of, hey, I'm, you know, it's only me, I'm only changing this. But keeping an eye of other content in case people are publishing in that. But actually letting that community know that you're just changing factual things to keep them up to date. So that, and then obviously this thing for big corporates, which was actually, oh, well, we've got all this sorted. What are we going to do about Facebook? Because it is becoming the place, you know, it's become the place now, you know, 650 million users around the world. It's not a fad. These astonishing statistics, you know, so 28 million users in the UK. What's that? I don't know. Just under half the population. And then within that, if you dive in within that, you know, the number of people who say, that's the first thing they do before they even get out of bed, you know, through a mobile device again or a laptop, they check the Facebook account. So actually how this becomes part of their life. So actually, what's the place of big business in that, you know, in terms of commerce or brand communication, you know, or just presence? And everyone going, oh, I don't know what we do there. And it's a big thing.